Okay, so someone asked me a few weeks ago the following shaila, which is what prompted this this topic. It is in line with this series on the working Jew that we've been going through. So it was a bachur learning in YU, and he said that one of the kids in his class, one of his chaverim, has access or had access to a test they were about to take. How did he get access to the test? So the professor, gave the tests out, they took the test, and he asked for the exams to be returned when the completion of the exams, but this kid didn't return the exam. Folded it in his pocket, took it home, and passed it on to his friend. So now they have access to this exam for the next semester. Is he allowed to use that test? And if he can't use that test, could he at least study with friends who use the test? Is that something that's allowed? That wouldn't be directly stealing, wouldn't be directly benefiting from it. And I told him, absolutely not. You cannot, you should not study with them. It's tough luck for you. Unfortunately, the curve is going to be very small since everyone's going to do well and you might not do as well. But Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you nonetheless, and that's the best thing. I happened to bump into him this past week. I gave a shiur last Monday night in YU, and he told me, I have to tell you what happened. So I'll tell you what happened at the end of the shiur to fill in. But let's talk about the topic of how honest one should be in business. And unfortunately, it's a topic that we all know how honest we have to be, but it requires constant chizik because we live in a very competitive world and business. And when your competitors are they're successful by playing all types of games. So what does that do for you, who you're falling very behind, where you're not playing the same types of games? So living in this Alma Deshikra, this world of lies, how do we view how does halacha view this concept of hey, you need it? I like it without it.
Oh, you prefer without
Yeah, I
it.
prefer without it, unless you guys. So how do we deal with that? This question of dishonesty. What exactly is dishonest? What's allowed? What's not allowed? So this is a very, very superficial discussion because there's so much to talk about in each particular area, but I just want to give an overview of the understanding of dishonesty in the workforce. So let's begin with number one, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, we've discussed this already together several times. Ma'arava said that B'sha'a she'me'achnisen adam ladin, when a person goes to Bezdin Shalmala after 120, Omrim lo, they say to him, they ask him a number of different questions, and the very first question that is asked is Nasas v'nasate be'emuna. Did you do business masa matan be'emuna? Were you honest in business? And that's the very first question. They don't ask kovei itim number one. The number one question is, how did you act when you were dealing with other people, clients, employees, in business? How honest were you? So we see, of course, this is very, very important. So what does dishonesty mean? What does it mean to be dishonest, to be truthful? So there's a Gemara in Chulin which connects to yesterday's parsha about Gid Hanasha. So the Gemara tells us in Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalad Amud Aleph that Mishum de Kaganev Le Ledaite. There's a concept, I don't want to get involved in the previous discussion, but the Gemara says you were Gonev Das, you stole his Das. So what does it mean, Gonev Das? So Damar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Aser Lignov Das Abrios. You cannot steal the Das, the mind. We'll get to the examples in just a moment, of the Brios, of mankind. You can't trick them. Vafilu Daitel She'oved Kochavim. Even to steal the Das of a Goy is prohibited. And Daraisa, this is a Daraisa, the post can point out, to steal, to trick them. Vahad Shmuel, and the fact that Shmuel says this, it's Aser to steal the Das of a Goy, La beferish idmar. It wasn't said by Shmuel explicitly, but it was inferred from a conversation that happened. So what was the inference? Elo michlale itmar, de Shmuel hava ko avar bimavar. He was once crossing over the bridge. And when you cross over the bridge, you have to pay a toll. So Amar le lishmaye, he told his attendant, paise le mevure, go appease him, pay him something for crossing over the bridge. Paise of ikbud. So he gave him something. And but Shmuel got very upset at the attendant for doing that. What was he upset? Didn't he just tell him to go pay the toll? My time ikbid. Amar Bai says Tarnagolas Trefahavya. He gave him a treif chicken. He said, I have a shechted chicken for you, but it was really a treif chicken. So the Minaf Kamina to the guy. He doesn't care if it's a shechted chicken or a treif chicken. But at the end of the day, you gave him a treif chicken. You told him it was a shechted chicken. That's lying. So says Rashi number 3 says, Mishum de Gonev Daito, de Ovid Kochavim Kesavar, a guy is of the understanding, She Yisrael Ze Oavo, Ma'od. You thought he's a good friend of yours. You have a good relationship, you trust each other. Shetakna v'tarach balital gida. So the previous case was talking about, he thought, you said, listen, I gave you a chicken, I gave you a piece of cow, I took the gida nasha out for you. So now for the guy, he doesn't care whether the gida nasha is there or not. But you said, I was matriach for you, and even though I didn't have to, I did you a tova. Sa'ad shenir slatzmo. I gave it to you. See, all that tircha I did, I don't mind giving it to you because I like you so much. And the guy takes it without the gedan asha. He says, the guy's really my friend. He likes me. But I really didn't take out the gedan asha. I didn't really shech this chicken. I gave him treif chicken. Now, even though for him it's no nafkamina whether it's a gedan asha or it's treif, in the end of the day, he views it. He thought that was matriach something. I could have kept it for myself, and yet I gave it over to him. So this, of course, I don't want to ask questions about other examples. It's very complicated. We could focus on a different point, other example. Let me give one more example before you ask your question of just how to appreciate what Gnevas Das is. So let's say you have a limited list. You're having a wedding. You're making a wedding for your son, for yourself, for whoever. And you could have only, 200 people. So it's a tight list. So you know your neighbor's not going to be around. He's going to Eretz Yisrael. He's already planned a vacation. There's no way he's making it to the wedding. Easy. I'll invite him. And no, he's going to say no. So I send him an invitation. And he said, he likes me so much. He invited me to the wedding. It's so nice. But I knew my mind. I never really planned on him coming to my wedding because I knew he'd say no. He already has a trip planned to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the type of thing a Gnevas Das where you trick someone in thinking that you really like them. You did a tova for them when in reality you did not. And that's aser not only to a yid, but it's even aser midaraisa to do such a thing to a guy.
No, my question was, isn't there a halachic problem that if the guy thinks that this is a kosher shechtet, chicken or cow, whatever, and then he sells it back to a Jew?
The Gemara talks about the guys to get an usher, such a thing, the way the Jew cuts it and the way to know it, but there are concerns like that.
Really?
Yeah. So if you wouldn't invite him anyways, then that wouldn't be Gnevas Das. It's only true if you would not have invited them. If you wanted to invite them, but you know they're going away, so of course you should invite them. But it's only a situation where you only invite them because you know that they're not going to make it, and they'll think I did a tova for them. Okay, the question has been.
Yeah, what's the Yisur D'oraisa? Where do we learn it out from, actually?
The pasuk for it? I don't remember where the pasuk is. I remember the Gemara might quote the pasuk. The Rama might quote the pasuk. I don't remember. Not sure.
But in general, it's interesting that the Torah doesn't say anywhere referred that you have to say emes. I mean, it's...
Yeah, midvar sheker lo tircha. Midvar
tircha. Isn't that...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's Yaakov's he's a enigma how that works out exactly. Yaakov's midas emes, and yet he's playing Ramos the whole time with Lavan. How that works out exactly is certainly a tricky thing.
Doesn't say you have to be honest to God and to other people.
Midvar sheker tirchak, that's a pasuk.
No, there's another pasuk which says be honest to God and to other people.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, either way, it's certainly an incredible midah that we need. It's the midah, it's the chos moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs his name with emes. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So we certainly have to emulate that aspect. Yes, again, I think Yaakov and Lavan's a very good question. But I guess for a different time, we could address that those stories. So now, take a look inside number four, the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva writes that Chelak HaShvi, a person who tricks his friend, lemar to say, kiyasa imo tova, I did a tova for you, oh, diber tova love, or I said something nice, I said a good thing to you, I told that friend you did a wonderful thing, but you didn't really do it. You claimed you did it. There's no way for him to know whether you said something nice about him to some other person. But you lied to him and you told him that you did. Amru rabu seinu zechron levracha, this is the Gemara in Chulin, Aser lignov das abrios vafil das nachri. You cannot steal, you cannot trick even from a guy. Vine, and adds the Shari Tshuva, hachet hazeh, this iser of Gnevas Das, is chomor etzel chachme Yisrael, yoser migeza nachri. It's more severe. Stealing one's das is more severe than stealing someone's possession. Now that's not to say, chas v'shalom, you're allowed to steal someone's possession. I remember growing up, we had an incident in B'nai Ashurin where there's a certain person moved to town, a certain well-known individual, and he was very unhappy with the amount of talking that was taking place in shul. So he sent a very serious letter to the rabbi saying that he'll never daven in the shul ever again, and it's talking in shul is worse than eating a cheeseburger. Remember this? No? So the rabbi said he took this letter and sent it to the entire kehilah, that this very chashuv individual came to our shul and said that he was very disappointed with the amount of talking. And so now, what did everyone read? Ah, so you see, so cheeseburgers are allowed, right? Because we talk in shul, and talking in shul is worse than a cheeseburger, so cheeseburgers are also allowed. Obviously, that's not what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Just because he says that Gnevas Das is more severe than Gezel doesn't mean that you should take Gezel Nachri lightly either. But we see how severe Gnevas Das is in the eyes of Rabbeinu Yonah. We'll get to stealing in just a moment, but Gneva, the reason he says this is because everyone agrees Gnevas Das is Asa for a Nachri. That's for sure. There is a machlokus in the Gemara Bama Kama whether you're allowed to steal from a goy. Some say you're allowed to steal from a goy. We paskin, you're not allowed to steal from a goy at all. It's aser, aser, aser. Now, if the goy makes a mistake, let's talk about this case. Tosakum. So stealing from a goy is aser. Stealing from the government is aser. Not paying taxes is aser. Fine. What happens, let's say the goy makes a mistake. Tosakum. He gives you extra, she gives you extra cash. You change an extra dollar, change extra quarter and change. What are you supposed to do? Do you have to return it or not? So the din is, mikar din, you don't have to return the money. It's only aser, says the Gemara, if you cause them to make a mistake. But, you underpaid and they didn't check. You know, it costed $20, you gave $18, and they didn't count the money. You knew what you were doing. So you walk away, that's stealing. But let's say they're supposed to return $2 and they return $3 to you, and you just noticed the mistake. Me'ikar, then you could walk away and keep it. That's the halacha. That's their mistake. They should have checked. I don't have to return the money. That's how we paskin. However, that being said, there is a beragola. Beragola, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, writes as follows. I couldn't find it on Bar Ilan to bring the Marmar Komos here, but it says as follows. Ani kosev zos ledoros. I'm writing this for the generation. Shirai isi rabim galu veheshiru meataos shehitu akum. That many, many people have gained a tremendous amount of wealth from the goy making mistakes and not calculating properly, returning too much money. And in the end of the day, velo hitzlichu, the Jews who, although initially made out well, they made a lot of money off the mistakes of the goyim, in the end they didn't do well. The yardu nichsayim, the timon, their properties and everything they owned went down. V'lo nichla acharem bracha, nothing was left over from it. And he quotes from the Sefer Chassidim that rabim asher kitchu Hashem, those who showed a kiddush Hashem, v'chaziru tos akum, and returned the money to the goy, even though they didn't have to, but they made a kiddush Hashem, b'davar chashiv galo, those people did well. V'shiru v'tzlichu v'nichu yisram lolem, and they ended up doing well. There are a couple of mices that brought down, and I forget which city this is. Maybe it's Hamburg, or I don't remember which one. But there's a whole situation whereby the Jews owned the taverns. And they were selling beer and whatever other drinks they were selling to them. And the goyim were getting drunk, and they were overcharging, and they're paying too much money. And they instead of $10, they get $15. So the goyim were making all these mistakes as customers. And the Jews kept it, because tos akum, you could keep. And then somehow the goyim got wind of what was going on, and they came and just had these pogroms and wiped out the city. This is supposedly what was motivating the Beragola, that Maisa. There's a similar Maisa with Yaakov Kamenetsky that when he was in Europe, so there was an individual, one of his Talmidim came back from the post office, and he said, the postal officer gave me too much money back. Should I return the money or not return the money? Yaakov says you should return the money. And supposedly this happened a number of different occasions. And what happened was, when the Holocaust broke out, this postal service, this officer, he ended up saving a number of Yidden. Because he heard all the bad things about the Jews. He wanted to see whether it's really true. Are they really stealing? Are they really doing this? So he wanted to test them. So he intentionally gave them extra money to see whether they return the money or not. And it turned out, Rav Yaakov's advice says, you should return the money, make a kiddush Hashem. That ended up saving a number of Jews who he saved during the war. So we see, although certain things might be permitted, doesn't mean we necessarily suggest the person should rely on this.
I have a problem with this. It's only the way that he's saying is
Well, the reason why you should return this is because otherwise bad things are going to happen to you. And if you do return, good things. There's a moral issue. I mean, this good midas demands that you return it.
Now, I don't know if the driving force is that you'll do, be wealthy or poor.
That's
the Matthias, what had happened. Yeah. I believe the driving force is because getting along with people around you in the society. No, but see, these are just points proving to you. If you don't, if the Derech Eretz alone, that doesn't highlight it for you. Well, just look at some of these, what's going to result. Because just because certain things are mutter doesn't mean we should act upon this. We've discussed in many other cases, like women wearing tefillin. Okay, so that was a big topic a few years ago. Can women wear tefillin? Of course, they can't, but they really can. If you look at the halacha, they really can. You could find a good reason for women to wear tefillin. In the end of the day, just because it's permitted doesn't mean we should paskin that way. The very first Ramban, all of Hilchos Shechita and all of Yerideya, the halacha, the mechaber is hakol shochtin. Anyone could be a shochet, a man, a woman, whoever wants. The Ramban writes, but the minhag is that women don't shecht. Why not? That's the minhag. The minhag is that they don't shecht. So although certain things might be allowed halachically, doesn't mean we would advise it. So just like women don't wear tefillin and women don't shecht, so too, although Tos Akum might be permitted, doesn't mean we allow for it. Someone sent me an article last week from the Jerusalem Post that now they're starting to daven on Har Bayis. It's more blatant about the davening, and they're asking my opinion. I said, I'm not questioning whether it's halachically allowed or not allowed. But Rav Yashiv had said, I recall reading in his name, that even if you could say it's halachically permitted, it doesn't mean you should do it anyways. It's not advisable because you're just creating friction with the Arabs. Why do you want to start with the Arabs at this point? You could daven from the coast if you want and be a few feet away as opposed to Har Bayis. Why would you start up? Just because certain things are permitted doesn't mean we should go ahead and paskin that way. So this is an example, great example of Tos Akum. And person, whenever they have extra money, they should always return it. Some people say, let's say they'll never know. And this is not a topic I wanted to discuss, but since it came up, I'm discussing it anyways. Let's say you buy online, Amazon, and they send you back, you ordered one. Someone asked me, they ordered one pillow, I think it was. They got two pillows. So could you keep two pillows now? Is that allowed? So Mikra then yes, because I ordered one and they made a mistake. They sent me two pillows. Can you keep it? So really, you're allowed to. And this case also really wouldn't be a chil Hashem if you keep it, because they have no idea who's on the other end per se, who's keeping it. They figure out your zip code. You live in Lakewood. You live in Brooklyn. You live in the Five Towns. Maybe. Even then, I tell the people, call up the company and tell them that you sent me two pillows instead of one. Oftentimes, they'll tell you, just keep it. It's not worth them repackaging it, but you should definitely call them up and tell them, even if they don't know that you're a Jew, who knows? You never know. And supposedly, land's end, I think, you can return all you want. They've blocked out certain communities because the Jews, they always buy and return, so they can't return anymore. So even if you think they're not going to know, sometimes they could figure it out. And the end of the day, the right thing to do is, the way it works, derech eretz midos, is you should always return something that they gave extra, even though it was their mistake.
By the way, there's a Twiller. We would like to block out certain zip codes.
Okay.
If I weren't Jewish, I'd be the biggest anti-Semite.
Okay. Let's go right to number five, okay? Number five, the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim writes, Aser lahanig atzma b'divrei chalakos u'pitoy. A person is prohibited from being engaging in any form of trickery. Don't say one thing b'peh and in your mind think something completely different. There are people who just lie. Whatever they say is just a lie. They don't believe it. You have to be consistent b'peh b'lev. Ela tocho k'piv. Your inside should be like your piv, like the outside. Va'inyan is sh'b'lev hu adavar sh'b'peh. That which you say should be consistent with what you feel. Which just happens to connect to this week's parsha, the coming parsha, that the brothers were described as Vayismu Osa. They very much hated Yosef Tzadik. They couldn't speak nicely to him. So Rashi says, Mitoch genusam, from the genus, from the disgrace that they didn't like him, they hated him, he's able to learn Lemanu Shvachim, the praise about them. Shlo dibru achas bepev achas belev. They couldn't be inconsistent. They're very consistent individuals. They're Tzadikim. So you have to be Echa bepev. And you have to be shava be'peh and believe. You can't have speak one way and think something completely different. And he goes on to say further, Va'aser lignov das abrios, va'afilu daitel shagor. This is written in the times of the Rishonim. This is several hundred years ago. You can't steal the das of any individual. Va'osan, now this is interesting. I know someone here, I won't say who, shared a maisa once with me about how a relative of theirs would respond to a non-Jew thinking it was a greeting, but they're really cursing them. Instead of saying in Yiddish to them, it was really a curse. So he said, I don't know Yiddish. But he says, hey, how are you? He says, Shalom Aleichem. But that really meant, whatever, fill in the blanks, cursing. So look what the Sefer Chassidim writes. Va'osam shemecharfin et hagoyim. Those who are cursing at the goyim b'shas shel shlomam when they're saying hi, greetings, and they say whatever they say in Yiddish or any other language that the goy doesn't understand. Va'goy savar shamar lo tova. He said, oh, he's giving me bracha, oh, so fantastic, so nice. The guy's blessing me, but he's really cursing him. Kein lecha gneves das gadol mizeh. There's no greater stealing of a das than that. So to say something with a smiley face, a happy, when you're really cursing that guy, that's another example of gneves das. So we see how serious Rabbeinu Yonah, the Sefer Chassidim and others felt about Gneves Das and about Tos Akum. Look at a very powerful statement found in the Sefer Mitzvos Agadol, the Smag. The Smag here, number 6, writes that Kfar Derashti Legalus Yushalayim. It's a very scary piece here. It's ready darshaning about the Galus of Yushalayim, Asher Besfard. Ulashar Guliyos Edom, the other types of exiles of the Christians that we're still living through. Kiata Sheherich Hagalas Yosemidai. Now the Galus is so extended. Yesh li Yisrael lahavdil mehevli ha'olam. We have to separate ourselves from the hevel of the world. Ula echos bechos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to cling to hold on, to grab on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signature, which is Shu Emes. People think you could just lie all you want to non-Jews. And some people think you could even lie to Jews. There is no difference. It's a midah that you have, regardless of who the recipient is. We have a midah being emes, regardless if that recipient is a Jew, a non-Jew, your housekeeper, you can't lie to anyone. And not to trick them in any way. And even to sanctify, to go above and beyond, even to that which is permitted, such as Talos Akum, even there you have to sanctify yourself. It says in the Pasuk, in Tzfanias, Sheiris Yisrael lo yasu avla, don't do anything incorrect, lo yidab berkosav lo yimatze befiim lashon tarmis. So now listen to this. Uchshiyavah HaKadosh Baruch lo shiyam. When the HaKadosh Baruch is coming to save us, Yomur HaGoyim, the Goyim are going to say, Bedin Asa. Right, when we get saved from whatever the situation is, we get saved, the Goyim are going to say the Jews deserve to be saved. They really deserve it. Why? Kiyem anshei emes, v'soras emes, b'fiyem. The people are true. Their religion is true. Ava, but what's going to happen? Im yisnagu im agoyim b'ramal. So we trick them all the time. We're playing games. We're stealing them. We say we'll meet them. We don't meet them. We say we'll pay them back. We don't pay them back. Yomu, what are they going to say when we get saved from a Holocaust? We get saved from Inquisition. What are they going to say? Ro ma asa Hakadosh Baruch Hu shebachel achelka ganavim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu chose a nation that steals. Ramamim that trick us all. That's what they're going to say about us. It's going to be a terrible chil Hashem. The old Kasavit says further in Hosea, Israel sel li ba'aretz klum zarei adam kor echad. Elam tzor kama korim. A person plants a core of seeds to produce more grains. So kach zorah Kadosh Baruch Yisrael baratzos. So why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu spread us out? Why are we not living in Eretz Yisrael right now? He spread us out through the four arba kanfos aretz kedei shi'tosu aleim geirim, because we want geirim to convert. We want that to happen. That's something we want to try to accomplish. Now, just because we want it to happen doesn't mean we're going to pursue them. They have to come on their own. But still, it has to happen. We have to be available for them to see us. Now, that could only happen v'chol zman shei misnagim behen v'ramos. If the Jews are known as people who just play games and trick and lie, who's going to want to convert? Who's going to be a Jew? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so makbid on the stealing. For the Parsha Noach. So we see how serious it was. That number one, he writes, is that it's a chil Hashem if we continue to steal and play tricks. Number two is the whole point, not the whole point, one of the reasons why we're spread throughout the world, one reason at least, there are a few other reasons, but one reason at least is to help people convert. If we're not going to be setting a good example of what it means to be honest and truthful in business, who's going to want to convert? So let's finish off now, before I conclude the story I started off with, let's finish off with a Gemara and Shabbos and a Hakdama to the Shev Shmaitza. Marn Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph tells us. This actually, you know, we'll probably start off with this source next week as well. Next week, I plan to talk about. Someone asked me, actually, Eitan Austin asked me to speak about Daf Yomi, some etas on Daf Yomi. So I think next Sunday I'll speak about Daf Yomi, the Indian halach and the shkaf, and maybe some etas, how one could perhaps go about learning Daf Yomi. But this Gemara probably will start with next week as well. But for now, the Gemara tells us that Amar Reish Lakish says, "My dichsiv wasn't meaning the pasuk vaya emunas itecha chosen yeshuas chachmas vadas emunas zeh sedizram." So this pasuk talks about, there's a description of each of the six Sidre Mishnah. So Emunah is a reference to Seder Zeraim. Why is Zeraim called the Emunah? So we know Zeraim is a brachos, betaksa peya, and shuma, all the halachas of Kedushas Haaretz. So why is it called Emunah? Shirashi says it's called Emunah because we trust the farmer. What happens? You go there to sell, you buy fruit. Now, the farmer has to take Truma and Meiser and all the halachas of Zeraim. So you have to trust, there's a certain emunah that we trust in the farmers to the halachas of Zeraim. We trust that they follow halachas. Tosa says no. Tosa goes to Yushalmi there and says, you know what the emunah is? The farmer has to have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, he has no idea what's going to be. The farmers have the greatest emunah because their whole produce depends on the rain, depends on the weather. You can't, in terms of business, so it depends. You could be personable, you could work hard, you could be aggressive. But in farming, you put it in the ground and it's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether he wants it to rain or not, sun or no sun. So it's all emunah that the farmer has. So the Shev Shmaitzer writes in his Akdama, Hagam Sheish Bnei Adam Shemuchrochem Lasos Eza Mischar. People have to work. There's a Shesh Maitza saying this, right? Everyone learns the Shesh Maitza in yeshiva. No one understands the Shesh Maitza. But this is what you learn in yeshiva. And he says, some people have to work. It's part of life. Tzarech hamasa matin lios be'muna. It must be done be'muna, honestly. V'zehu tchilas dino sha'adam. That's the first question that we get asked, like we saw before the Gemara in Shabbos. The Amar Rava b'shah shemach nisa nesa adam ladin omrim lo nasasa v'nasata be'muna. Vahainu, he says further, al pimat itza shan vaya emunah sitecha chosan emunah zeh seder zeraim. Why is it emunah? Just it's all review right now. We'll get to his piece, his chiddush in a second. V'kos v'tosos b'shem Yushalmi shemamin b'chay olamim v'zareh. He trusts in the chay olamim. He trusts in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he plants, trusting that Kadosh Baruch Hu provide for him and his family. Vahainu she'enu ka'oskim b'ma'asim matan v'omrim kochi v'otzim yadi. He's not a guy who says, you know, I worked hard. You know, when you're working on a deal really hard, you're getting the client, so you could say, Kochi v'otzim yadi, I made this happen. I was fighting the other broker, I got this deal, this was all me. It's very hard to say that when you're working the land, but still possible. I planted a seed, I made sure the rain, okay, but I had a whole irrigation system, and I sent out the tractors, and I harvested everything, and I sifted everything. I made this whole nice, basket of corn that I'm selling down to the markets. So you could say, Kochi v'yotzim yadi, this is all me. So therefore, the Yushalmi tells us that no, it's emunah. Because ki'im zareya, the guy plants, the farmer goes and plants. What's he doing? Think about what's he trying to do. He has food. In theory, some seeds are edible. I can either decide to eat it or feed it to my animal, or I could be mashach zros of yeshadid ad masov yichasim sham. I could take the seeds, put them in the ground, destroy them v'yifsedu v'yarkuvu. They're going to go bad. So I just took something that was perhaps edible, something that was produce. I just decided to just bury it and get rid of it. So what happens? Ad yirachem Hashem alav yorid talalim yashva ruach berina yiktzer v'yisa alumulosav. I had a trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he'll have rachmanis on me. He'll bring the rain, he'll bring the dew, he'll bring the wind, and finally I'll be zocha to harvest everything berina. That's the emunah that we have. So the Shev Shmaisa says the same applies not only for Zeraim, that's why Zeraim is called emunah, but kamokain, excuse me, last two lines, roi, even though there might be other industries where we think we're doing everything, we're like building buildings, we're saving patients, we're fixing people's teeth, whatever that might be, you could think it's kochi v'yotzim yadi, we have to have that same level of emunah, Shev Shmaitzer writes. Kamokin again, roi has kol masa umatin bemuna. Hainu, sheyamin shemashu kona, to trust. Whatever you buy, omohar, whatever you sell, lova omalva, you should borrow or you lend, whatever part of the deal you're on. As if you're throwing your money away. You're investing into a business. It's throwing the money away. And the only way you're going to produce and generate any success, Kadosh Baruch Hu with his chesed is going to pay you back. And that's what means ze perish nasatev nasatev emuna. It's not only for Zeroim. Zeroim is a great example. It's perhaps the greatest industry where there's the greatest level of emuna. But it's true of any other industry that if you is nasatev nasatev emuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. Now, I can't guarantee, I can't promise you HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make you a billionaire for doing this. But I can guarantee HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly give you Olam Haba. I'm not promising any segulas here for Ashiris. I'm just saying, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you in some way. You may not appreciate what it will be, but it's Nasatev Nasatev Be'amuna. So to finish off the story I started off with, that boy who asked me, perhaps he was upset that he asked me what he should do, but he took my psak and he did not study with his friends. His friends had access to the stolen test, so he studied on his own. He studied hard. He shows up to the test, and all his friends feel so guilty going to the test. Mom is this level of guilt. Like, we shouldn't really take the test. I feel so bad. That's how they felt beforehand. He felt so proud. He listened. So they felt, coming in, they felt guilty. And coming out, the professor changed the test. So he did the best. Everyone else did whatever they did, and Baruch Hashem, he had the ashiras, he had the success in the end. So just to finish off with the Kedushas Levi on yesterday's parsha, and then we'll conclude talking about what it means to be honest and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the world around us. So the pasuk tells us that Yaakov Avinu was told his new name is Yisrael. Vayomer lo Yaakov, Yomer od Shimcha, your name is no longer Yaakov, Kiyim Yisrael. Because you live amongst Hashem, you live amongst the people, you're called Yisrael. Kisarisa imelkim v'anashim. The Indian writes the Kedushas Levi. Kiyesh Adam, there is one type of person, Shehu Davik Tamid Ba'bori Baruch Hu. There's one individual who's always clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afilu kishu medabrim b'nei Adam. Even when he's talking to people, he's talking amongst his co-workers, his clients. V'yesh Adam, there's another individual. There's one person who, when he's learning, when he's davening, when he's doing mitzvahs, he's shaking lulav, he's wearing tefillin, then he's davek b'Hashem. He's talking to people, he's talking to his friends, his neighbors, perhaps his wife, his family. He can't connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's two different people. He's one person in the Beis Medrash and a completely different person outside the Beis Medrash. Habechina Harishon, the first Bechina, who is connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu, bein when he's in the Beis Medrash, bein when he's outside the Beis Medrash, that person is called the Yisrael. Ki hu osios yashar keil, the yashus, being yashar and full of emes, no matter where you are, that's Kadosh Baruch Hu, yashar keil. And the Bechina Shnia, the second one, is called Yaakov Yud Akev, that's Akev, it's only in certain places. In the heel, the Yud's only in certain places, but it's not everywhere where you're living. And that's what it means. Zelo Yaakov, your name's no longer Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael, ki sarisa im Elokim. Kolomar, when you are ata davek be Elokim, you're connected to Hashem. Afilu kesha'ata medabim b'nei Adam. So that's what the pasuk means. Im Elokim va'anoshim v'tucha. Bein b'beis knesses. Bein b'nei Adam, you're always the one same person. You're Yosher. You're Yosher Kael. That's what it means to be a Ben Yisrael. That's what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. To show that love of what it means to be Chos Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'emes, to show the Yashus, and through that we should be Zocha to the Gula Shlema Be'amitas Meher Amenu Amen V'Amen.
So Yitzchak Shiloh, Erez's father.